And welcome to the Trouble with the Snap podcast. I am Tyler Hayward alongside Jeremy File. Did a little basketball preview. We're not going to talk too much about that today. We got a lot going on. And look, both Michigan and Michigan State have an opportunity to do things really, really special on the gridiron. So that's where our focus is going to be for the time being. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Anchor, Spotify, Trouble with the Snap podcast on Facebook. Go back and listen to our archive shows. Like I said, Jeremy is with me today. He sounded ready and raring to go. But we are going, before we get into what he wants to talk about, we are going to start with the big news, though it's not official yet, and that is Mel Tucker's massive extension.
Yes, but let me get a free plug to the Western Michigan Broncos basketball program. Good luck this evening. I had to say that. I am the least, I think I scored the least amount of points ever at the university, or averaged the least amount. I'm not quite sure, but I know I had definitely the worst three-point percentage ever in video game history. But
zero
to the thing, I think it was 50. 50 overall, no, which means zero technically.
It was a zero.
It was a zero. Okay. So it's a humbling Friday for me again. I think the Mel Tucker thing is really interesting for two reasons. One, I think, and we said a lot of this off air, so I want to bring it to air now. I think Michigan State fans need to be a little cautious on how exuberant they've been over Mel Tucker. I think he's a good coach. I just think there's a little bit of fool's gold there. I understand extending him, though. That's the second part. I get it. You don't want to lose a hot coach right now. It's trendy. Recruiting is amping up. I get it. But what happens, Tyler? My question is, because we really were pretty harsh on this guy, what happens if it goes the route we thought it probably would? Now you got to talk about buyouts. What's his buyout and all that? That's going to be the thing that's interesting for me, Tyler.
Yeah, and no, you're exactly right. I mean, at the same time, it's a move Michigan State has to make. You can't sit there, lose him, and then watch him be successful somewhere else, because then it's just going to bring back, you know, the 2000 Saban era departure is what it's going to be. And people and coaches and players are going to sit there and think, hey, you know what? This school doesn't take football seriously. And that was a problem after Saban left until D'Antonio got there. And so you have to make a move, and you at that point you either sit on your hands, or you go out and you gamble. And Michigan State's making a gamble right now. The direction appears to be heading upwards. Obviously, look, everyone knows our opinions, what we think is going to happen over these next three games. And so this isn't going to be like this could potentially be a 10-2 team. And if that's the case, you know, with the way recruiting is and with how Tucker has just hammered that transfer portal, I think it's a move that you had to make. And you can't just sit back and do nothing. If you sit back, you do nothing, you watch him leave, and he's anywhere near successful, you screwed yourself.
I think this is Brady Hoke still. I really do. Like I said it off air. I don't feel the faith still. Like I think he's a good coach. I think he has done a really good job of being exciting. That's where he's better than Brady Hoke, obviously, because Brady Hoke's kind of a dud. But this is his first year. This is technically his first year where you say there's a lot of things that have went his way. That doesn't mean it's a knock on Michigan State, me saying that. I just made a statement to Tyler off air where I felt like next year is a bear of a schedule. I mean, absolute bear. I mean, they changed the Michigan game. You got to go at Michigan now. We thought they would do the back-to-back at home, but no, they didn't, of course. Now you got Ohio State's your first Big Ten opponent. That's followed by you just went at Washington the week before. They got Wisconsin at home, at Michigan, at Penn State. home with Ohio State. I mean, when you play those four teams, I mean, you're going to get challenged. I mean, you are going to get challenged. Yep. And by the way, their road games at Illinois is going to be a game to look out for the next few years, because Bielema already has been like, I'm going to shock some people and win a few games no one thought I was going to. He opened up the season with the win Nebraska. He beat Penn State. So he's definitely a guy to look out for in this conference. I just think that people need to know what it is. It's a situation where, look, these aren't excuses either. This is just, he hasn't went out there and blew teams, you know, blown everyone out either. Like Indiana, you know, it was a pretty rough win. Nebraska, they shot themselves in the foot. There's a lot of things that could have went wrong. This is why I say this, Tyler. I sometimes wonder if, like, it would say a lot about Mel Tucker. This is what I wish would happen, is that they didn't have to extend him. He just wanted to be there and didn't want to leave. Because
he's still a top 15 paid coach already.
Right. So my point is, you know, they did this with Scott Frost, but clearly this is different than that situation. I mean, Michigan State is rolling right now, and they're in the conversation for college football playoffs. It's not the same as Nebraska. People have mentioned that. That's not true. The problem I have with it is, this is a guy that you said it best. He leaves everywhere he's at. And, you know, how about, like, hey, you know, you were, as much as it was a rough start and it was COVID and you didn't get to have your team, you still went 2-4 your first year. So it's funny because, Tyler, I said this to a Spartan fan the other day. I said, technically, I mean, it is facts. He's 10-5 overall as a coach there with two really tough games coming up. So he could be 11-7 in his first 2 years. So it's not like you're extending a guy who went in and won the Big Ten his second year if that happens. Now, you know what Mel Tucker needs to do, Tyler? He needs to win 10 games this year. Then I can sit back and say, you know what? This guy won 10 games. He beat Penn State. He beat Michigan. And he lost on the road to Ohio State. I can handle that. That is an amazing season. But if you lose at home to Penn State and you lose – at Ohio State, you get crushed in that game. I'm going to be sitting back going, there's a lot of things that bounced his way this year that made him win those nine games. I want to know what he's going to do next year. So I guess that's just kind of where I'm at with Mel Tucker.
Yeah, and let's turn our attention to Michigan, though. Like I said, it's a move that had to be made. Yeah. That's my thought on that. And I mean, you feel the same way. It's a move that I wish Michigan State didn't have to make either, but
yeah,
you know what? It is what it is. You got to play the cards you're dealt, and LSU was trying to, you know, throw an ace in the hole on that one. You said you wanted to read the fortune. So we're going to prep you. All right. Your tarot cards. We got your crystal ball. You know, we got whatever other magic beans or whatever other juju stuff that those people use. All right. So read that future, man. What's that look like?
Oh, the future is the past. I mean, let's just be honest. This guy hasn't won anything at Michigan, Harbaugh. I feel like it's a broken record. I do this every year. He's proven us right time and time again, meaning proving us right that he can't get it done. I don't want to be like Paul Feinbaum, but look, man, you know, Paul Feinbaum is never wrong. I mean, he's saying the truth. And, you know, I hate being that a guy that gets to get all these clicks and that's his whole life. That would suck to be that, you know. But, you know, bottom line, these people that are saying the things about Harbaugh are not lying. I mean, they're just issuing facts. He doesn't win big games. I mean, the big game this year, Tyler, where I went off on a tangent and lost my mind thinking they're going to get blown out by Wisconsin, well, if they played them tomorrow, they probably would. It was just a bad time for Wisconsin, and I think Michigan took advantage of that. They got guys banged up. They're not talking about it. You're going to see a different team tomorrow. I don't think Blake Corum is going to play as much. I don't think A.J. Henning is going to play as much. I don't think Jamon Green is going to play at all. I think they're going to get absolutely smoked tomorrow.
Andrew was banged up too, right?
Yeah, I mean, Eric All didn't play, but he was dressed. There's a lot of guys banged up, and they can't afford to have any of those guys lost with this coaching staff, that's for sure, especially on the offensive side. Josh Gattis and Jim Harbaugh, they could pack their bags tomorrow, and I would be elated. I think that that whole offensive coordinator situation since Harbaugh's been there has been a joke. Jim Harbaugh has no idea how to just stand up. You know, the best offense they probably had, Tyler, was maybe his first year, you know, when they ran it his way. Just physical. Hey, this is us. We can't really do much, but, you know, we're going to pound you and we're going to do some play action passing, and this is who we are. And then 2016, they were just loaded with talent. It's just so sad, because you just know what the future is. And until it's different, how could anyone say differently, Tyler? I mean, I think Penn State's going to come out, and I don't even think Penn State's that good, man. I really don't. I mean, I was reading up stuff on them and going, wow, they can't run the ball at all. You know, they're terrible at running. They got a quarterback who's great when he's on. When he's off, he's not. They got one really good playmaker and then another solid receiver. And their defense is absolutely studs in the back seven. But, or, you know, really studs everywhere. You know, they're back. Yeah. I would say back five, six, whatever. It doesn't even matter how you explain it. They're just a really good defense when they want to be. That secondary is amazing. So I just think this is exactly what you get from Michigan football. You know, they're going to come out tomorrow, and they're going to get down by two scores early probably. Penn State, their players have a lot to play for because they got NFL contracts to play for. So they're going to want to prove that they can play well against Michigan. That's what they're playing for right now. James Franklin playing.
As Cliff Ryan said, man, these are your money games.
Money games, Penn State at home against Michigan. You're going against Aiden Hutchinson. You're going against that winged helmet. Absolutely. That's great film. When Michigan drops back the pass, you don't think those corners are licking their chops? They can't wait to get a pick. They can't wait to knock a guy off his feet. It's going to be ugly tomorrow. I have zero confidence in this program. I just – and you know what? I'll come gladly on the air and beat myself up and punch myself if Jim Harbaugh actually wins and say, you know what? The guy actually got it done, and I'm a jerk. I'm such a crappy Michigan fan. I deserve to be punished for this. But you know what? I think I'm going to be right. I think they're going to get beat like nobody's business tomorrow. And I think they're going to look up at the scoreboard. And because Penn State's not very smart either, I think Michigan will come back like they usually do. And they'll probably lose the game, you know, still comfortably for Penn State. It's just the same old crap, Tyler. I'm so sick of it. And it's just like, I don't want to really deal with it anymore. I mean, I want the guy gone. I wanted him gone last year. I wanted him gone in 2018. But here we are again talking about it.
Yeah, and it's just it's a weird matchup. I feel like both teams are really evenly matched. Clifford is starting to look himself, which, you know, as fans of both of these schools are listening, that's not something that you want. And so it's going to be an interesting game. I think Michigan obviously matches up better with Penn State, but I don't know if they have the offense, especially without Corum, to at least draw a little bit more attention to the outside while you're trying to run. You can sit there and you can push Haskins up the middle and hit off guard all you want, but then it comes a time where you've got to make that play on the outside. Without Corum, I don't think you have it. You talked about the injuries at receivers. I don't think you have it. McNamara's not that great of a quarterback still, even though obviously I've said that I'm going to give him a lot more slack than anybody else has. This is a team that I think they just match up evenly. I don't necessarily know which one is better. If Clifford's healthy, I have more trust in him to make the plays than I do Cade McNamara.
Well, and Jahan Dotson is an absolute stud. But the thing that people need to watch tomorrow, what we need to really watch? Hello, Josh Gattis. What are you going to do? You did come through in the Wisconsin game. I thought that was his best game he called as the OC at Michigan. Well, guess what? This is a little more important than that one, isn't it? This is November now. This is a game on the road against a team that's ranked, and it's something you guys have not been able to do been successful at all at. And you have to continue to call a good game. He's got to come out there and have a different plan, Tyler. Like, okay, look, you know their secondary is great. You're going to want to run the ball. How do we effectively run the ball? They started running a little bit more off tackle last week. Great. Add that. They started adding a little bit of play action rollouts where they got the other tight ends involved. Great. Start adding that. But the problem with him and Harbaugh is the things that they're good at or the things that are advantages for them, they rarely go to them. Like, I've never seen a staff so incompetent when it comes to that. Like, like Michigan State a few weeks ago, they can't cover. You've seen if you're Josh Gattis and you watch the Purdue game, you should get close to a ledge and go, man, I don't know. If I'm not that brilliant enough to realize that I could have done that the whole game, I don't know if I'm and I mean, when I say ledge, I'm saying my coaching life, not my real life. You know, if I can't figure that out as a coach, that Michigan State is loading up and wants to stop our run and we have advantages all over the field, I should probably not have a job. Because, well, Tyler, let's be honest, Cade McNamara should have thrown for 500 some yards in that game. Because guess what? I don't care what anybody says. Purdue is not a bad football team. But if Purdue can do it, Michigan should be able to do it. They had 405 yards, Tyler, and guess what? They had 30 points with 7 minutes to go in the third quarter. You know what happened? Harbaugh and Gattis happened. Brain dead.
They ran it. Michigan's tight end, Eric Hall, was roasting Michigan State the entire game. Now, I know Brantley knocked him out of it, but that was the plan going in. And just because all goes down, it doesn't mean you don't have any tight ends backing them up. I mean, you got some decent ones still. And
Schoonmaker's just as good as all.
I'm not going to say just as good, but yeah, he definitely deserved the targets that all was getting. And that was a massive mistake on Michigan's end, because you sat there and you saw Nebraska rip Michigan State to shreds about it with their tight end. And that's what Michigan was doing at the beginning of the game. And then at the end of the game, that's when even when all was in, they minimized his targets compared to what he was getting earlier. And you can't do that. You
had a freshman wide receiver go for 93 yards. Like, I'm not knocking Michigan State by saying this. Michigan State is trying to figure themselves out. This is strictly on Michigan. You know, Michigan State took advantage of poor coaching on the other side. That's what you do as a team. You know, it had nothing to do. Like, look, we can cry and all we want. Yeah, it sucks when you don't get things go your way. But here's the bottom line. Michigan blew it. Absolutely blew it. And you know what, Tyler? They've blown it all year in some other games, but they just didn't get paid for it. You know, like Rutgers. If Rutgers wasn't so stupid, they probably would have won that game. They went for it on fourth down like 50 times. You know, we had like 5 yards of total offense going into the last drive. You know, I've seen it all year, man. They go brain dead as a coaching staff offensively. Defensively, Mike McDonald's had one bad thing that happened. He couldn't handle a tempo, and it just threw him off. And kudos to Michigan State on that. But this offense, though, all year, same crap. Fixated on one thing. They are not multiple. You called it, and I said, well, I mean, why would we be multiple? We're running the ball. No, you were right. You can't be fixated on one area of your offense and expect to win big games. You're easily stopped. And I just understand it. Eventually, though, you take what the defense gives you. And Josh Gattis, God bless his heart, man. He's the worst offensive coordinator Michigan's ever had. I'm going to say it. He is the worst. Al Borges was unique, creative, and he did it with lesser players. I mean, he did it with Devin Gardner, for God's sakes. So, you know, I think it was Neusmeyer or whatever. He was pretty horrible, too, in 2014. But they were terrible that year. They just didn't have players. I mean, that was coming towards the end of Brady Hoke's tenure, obviously. But I am so fed up, Tyler. I'm so sick of it. I'm tired of having the conversation. If Jim Harbaugh wants to do himself a favor and keep his job, you know what you need to do? Just fire another coordinator. You know, bring another coordinator on. And if that doesn't work, my God, just get rid of Harbaugh. I mean, why do we have to do this every year? Like, I can't wait till Monday when I can say, you know what, I was wrong a lot in basketball last year with Michigan. But I had been spot on with football. Boy, I just knew they'd crash and burn. It was so easy to figure that one out, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a situation that is going to be talked about, and it's going to be talked about even more and even more and even more as that Ohio State game looms near.
Oh, God. Yeah. I just wanted to get it over with. Lose now. Give the fans what they want and what they know. Lose now. Don't flirt. Don't flirt with success. you're terrible. We know it. Don't fool us anymore. You know, like the Michigan State game, you know why I'm so mad? It's because they fooled us again. They fooled us again. 30-14, I'm texting buddies. You know, man, look at us, we're rolling. And then I go, oh my God. Even Mel Tucker's right. They're tougher. They're not tougher physically. They're mentally tougher and smarter. You know, they're going to win this game in the end of the game because we don't have the intelligence to know how to win big games. Why, Tyler? Because we never have under Harbaugh. How could you be confident in something that you've never done?
Yeah, it's and that's the thing. Like, this Penn State game, here's the problem, man. It's lose-lose for Harbaugh. If he goes out there and he wins that game, okay, well, whatever he's supposed to. He's, you know, top whatever in the country, sixth in the country. If he loses, then Penn State's not ranked, are they? No.
Let me say this real quick because I know we got to get to Michigan State. This is where I wouldn't say you're wrong, but – and, you know, I've been very edgy this football season, clearly. This is the most edgy I've ever been.
Yes.
No. If Jim Harbaugh matters. If Jim Harbaugh wins the round, no, that's a big win. Like, that's a huge win, and you should be excited. The problem is, you would think, after having momentum in winning that game, and then should beat Maryland, that they would go into Ohio State game with a decent plan and not get their doors blown off. That's why I always just don't even care, because look, Harbaugh, this is a big game. If they can go out and beat Penn State, and it's like they beat them, they were better, I think that's going to be a little different. He hasn't had that. Remember, I was talking to some of our buddies about this. Every year, Tyler, we go into that game against Ohio State, we were kind of slipping away. You know, we had some struggles against Indiana a couple years ago. We didn't play well. You know, we had the Moody game where he had like 100 field goals. We just didn't look good. And even though Ohio State looked terrible against Maryland, you just kind of like, oh, I didn't like how our offense looked, right? You know, they lost to Iowa in 2016. We scored 13 freaking points. You're like, oh, that looked terrible. And then they played terrible against Indiana the next weekend. You beat Penn State and you play well. And it looks like Wisconsin this year. And then you beat the doors off Maryland. You would think there'd be some confidence, right? So, I mean – yeah, it's still huge. I mean, you got to go out there, but I'm just saying, just lose now so I don't have to think about these things.
Yeah. And let's turn our attention to Michigan State. This is, I think, the most interesting game on the Big Ten docket. And you know what? You can say what you want. Oh, you're just saying that because you're a Sparty. No, I'm saying it because Maryland can't stop the run. Michigan State has the best player in America, maybe. Probably. For my money, he is. When you're getting articles written about you that says you were held to 136 rushing yards.
Right.
You're doing something right. And so, look, for my money, he's the best player in America. Maryland can't stop the run. Michigan State can't stop the pass. Baby Tua Tagovailoa is, he's one of the top four passers in the Big Ten. This is a strength versus weakness for both schools. And to me, that makes it interesting.
Look, Michigan State should not lose this game. I mean, I think Maryland, when you look at some of the tough opponents they've had, I mean, they have gotten absolutely rocked. Anybody with any physicality and that is a good opponent has really just beaten them down. Now, I know that the season changes a little bit. Like, Iowa was rolling when they crushed Maryland. But I just feel like there's some things that don't change. And I don't think Maryland's passing attack, as good as Baby Tua has been, or Brother Tua, however you want to say it, I don't think he'll throw that well against Michigan State. It will not be anything close to like Michigan and Purdue.
There's going to be some snow on the ground.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to go well for the Turtles. I think Michigan State got a lot to play for. I think Mel Tucker will have those guys ready. And I think that they run the ball and they get what they want. And, I don't think it's going to be a pretty game, though. Like, I think it's going to be one of those games where Maryland keeps it close, kind of like they did against Penn State. You know, it was 14-all in the fourth quarter, right? So, you know, I think Maryland should be confident on that end. But they're just not good enough yet still. There's something's missing there. They got some talent, but it's just not enough. And it's because the foundation of their team, their O-line and D-lines are just not that great. I mean, you know, they don't have a physical presence there. Always have some talent, right? Always got some skilled guys that are really good. But, you know, I just think Michigan State's stronger, bigger. And they got Walker, you know, and if there's snow on the ground, it's a wrap.
Yeah, I don't know if Maryland's going to be able to run the ball. The thing is Michigan State's pass rush has went down since Beasley's come back. Now, I don't know if it's just because he's not been 100% or what the deal is, but now if you can't get to Baby Tua, he can move a little bit too. And when it's snowing out there and you got defenders slipping and sliding all over the place and all that type of crap, that makes it a lot harder to defend those semi-mobile quarterbacks. Yeah. And when you already can't defend the pass to save your life, like I think my daughter can get open on some of that defense.
Yeah.
I mean that's an issue. And so I think it more or less evens itself out. But look, bad weather always favors the rushing team, and that rushing team's Michigan State.
Even though I hope Braylon Edwards doesn't talk about it. Hey Braylon, just wanted you to know
that it sounded good, didn't it? Yes. Xavier Henderson.
Oh God, don't do that though. Don't do that. But look, man, the weather, both teams got play on it. But at the same time.
But it's like I said in that Michigan show that we ended up cutting because service around East Lansing as well as the traffic was completely jacked up. It's like I said, I felt if it rained, Michigan was going to win the game. And it's not because, oh, well, this is just a pre-made excuse or anything like that. It was a situation where I think the way Michigan plays football suits that weather better. I think the way Michigan State plays football suits crappy weather better than the way Maryland plays it, because it's less passing. It's more in your running back's hands, who, by the way, Kenneth Walker before that Purdue game was at like 350 carries or something stupid like that without a fumble. So I don't expect him to just be dropping it all over the place. You know, I think that this is a situation that, I think that 350 isn't, you know, it's not normal, but at the same time, it's something that he's not going to, you know, all automatically develop stone hands. And so it suits Michigan State better. And it really helps when you have that extra weapon, which in this case is Jaden Reed, who can bust one on the outside if it does clear up a little bit. And so they can do either or. Maryland's defense, their pass defense is pretty solid, so they need to run. I don't know if that means they're going to completely sell out and make Reed beat them, but it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Let's do it. Let's get to the picks. We've talked about both these games enough, even though I think we talked more about just, you know, the potential letdown for Michigan. Michigan is favored by a point in Happy Valley.
No way. Not a chance. Going against every single thing. I'm going to give you my score now, like I always do. I hate talking about gambling, you know that, but I'm going to give you my score. I think Penn State wins the football game 30-17. I think they play their best game of the year. And I do think they're better than Michigan. I really do. I think they've matched up really well head-to-head against Ohio State. A couple things didn't go their way in that game. I mean, the way they battled them on the road said a lot about the talent that Penn State has. And I think they show that talent at home. And I think they're geared up for these next few, right? I think they really, really want to prove that they're a good football team. And they got talent, man. They got guys that can flat-out play. So defensively, I think they're going to give Michigan so many problems, and I think that's why they beat them comfortably.
Give me 24-20. I'm going to go a little closer. I'm still taking Penn State though. I like I said, I just think these teams are evenly matched, and I think it could go either way. I'm just guessing that Clifford's going to be the Sean Clifford that we saw at the beginning of the season, not the one that we've seen as he's been trying to recover from this injury, and I just trust him to make one more play than McNamara, but I'll still take Penn State. I'll take him on the
road game versus a ranked opponent. Jim Harbaugh's the coach. Yeah, let me I'll take that.
You got to remember one very important thing, though.
They're favored.
The one coach who might be worse in the Big Ten than Jim Harbaugh.
What the F was
is
that?
James
did
Franklin.
Did you see James Franklin throw the kicker under the bus? Boy, I thought Harbaugh was bad with Blake O'Neal. Shankopotamus shanks one against Ohio State, and all they zoom in on Franklin, and he goes, what the F was that? He didn't say F either. He finished the sentence. It's hilarious.
Yeah, he included the other three letters. Yeah. I don't know if that's throwing somebody under the bus, but if he doesn't execute, I mean, look, football coaches have a tendency to ask questions like that. Michigan State is favored by – it's bounced back and forth between 12 and 11. They're favored by 12 right now against Maryland.
I think this is a tricky one for me. But I mean, help me out here, Tyler. I mean, you look at this team, Maryland, they can't stop the run. We got weather, right? So, all right, well, man, you know, Walker's probably going to go crazy. He breaks a few touchdowns. They can't throw the ball. You know, I think they're going to win by more. I mean, I think that they win this one by just two scores, though, two touchdowns. And I'm going to go Michigan State 31, Maryland 17. Pretty similar to this pick, you know, just a second ago. But, yeah, I just think that they run the ball and they kind of pound them. And even if the weather's bad, like you said, Reed can still get open and get loose, right? They can get him in space. They can still throw the ball. Yeah. And I think they'll get after Tua's brother there. I just don't even want to try to pronounce it. And, yeah, I just think that Michigan State is just such a better football team right now than Maryland. And isn't that amazing? We probably wouldn't have talked this way preseason. I don't think we talked about this about any team Michigan State was playing preseason, and we found out that, hey, this team had some holdover talent from Mark, and Mel's really got it rolling a little bit. So, yeah.
I told you so. I didn't predict this level of success, but I thought it was going to be the coaches that struggled a little bit, and obviously the coordinators have. Mel Tucker's done a great job, and I told you that this team had the talent to go 9-3. I said I didn't think they would. I thought they'd go 6-6, but I said they had the talent to go 9-3, and we're starting to see that. And look, if Coughlin didn't pull a hammy, look, they had two field goal opportunities against Purdue that ended up getting wiped out by a freshman kicker who missed the first 42-yarder, and then they had to go for it without those three additional points on the board later in the game while they were in the red zone. Coughlin doesn't pull a hammy. Who knows? Maybe that game's different.
Hey, you need some field goals. We'll give you some field goals. We've got plenty of field goals for you.
Yeah, I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying, this is a team that's a lot better than people think. They lost Purdue. They're crap. No, that's not the case.
Purdue's got another shot too. By the way, tomorrow Purdue's got a big opportunity for what? That's three. Top four wins. I mean, that's talk about a team that has just been a magical season for Purdue. I mean, they're a good team. I mean, that's not a bad football team. They're not like great, but they're really good. And, you know, you were worried about them. And, you know, I didn't. I mean, it's tough. It's tough to figure out on the road, man. That's why I just think Michigan's going to get smacked. It's just on the road. I mean, they've had a lot of problems going in Happy Valley, man.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is as far as the weather in East Lansing. I know it's supposed to snow a little bit. And so I'm a little – the thing is in weather like that, can you cut as sharp as you normally do? And that's a question for Kenneth Walker to answer because that's how he breaks his runs, is those sharp cutbacks. And so I'm really curious to see how that plays out. I know they will try to run it with him a lot more, though.
Yeah,
I don't think Maryland can stop the run still, and if it rains, they'll completely sell out. But you can't sell out with Jaden Reed and Trey Mosley on the outside. I'm taking Michigan State, but I'm taking give me Michigan State 34-31.
Wow, that's a unbelievable pick as far as the score covering. I understand, but the score, holy smokes.
Yeah, well, look, Maryland can't stop the run. Michigan State can't stop the pass. It's baby Tungavaloa versus Kenneth Walker. Like, that, it is what it is. But
yeah,
that that well, does
Michigan
it for
State versus the Western Michigan basketball. Do you have a score? You got. You know how I get. It's basketball season. I'm getting very excited. It's
yeah,
such
I know.
A better mood.
And that's why I'm trying to wrap it up, man. I got practice in like 20 minutes.
Oh, all right. Does Michigan State win tonight? Do you think they beat my Broncos?
80-63.
That's a good call. Okay. I'm good with that.
All right. That does it for us here on the Trouble with the Snap podcast. For Jeremy File, I'm Tyler Hayward.